Well, it is lovely to see and hear you all this morning for the first Sunday of Lent. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouth shall proclaim your praise. Hear our voice, O Lord, according to your faithful love, according to your judgment, give us life. Blessed are you, God of compassion and mercy. To you be praise and glory forever. In the darkness of our sin, your light breaks forth like the dawn, and your healing springs up for deliverance. As we rejoice in the gift of your saving help, sustain us with your bountiful spirit, and open our lips to sing your praise. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God forever. And Psalm 51, a song of penitence. Have mercy on me, O God, in your great goodness. According to the abundance of your compassion, blot out my offences. Wash me thoroughly from my wickedness and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my faults and my sin is ever before me. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and righteous in your judgment. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Give me again the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with your gracious spirit. Then shall I teach your ways to the wicked, and sinners shall return to you. Deliver me from my guilt, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing of your righteousness. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. The night has passed, and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen. The Collect for the Day. Almighty God, whose Son Jesus Christ fasted 40 days in the wilderness and was tempted as we are, yet without sin, give us grace to discipline ourselves in obedience to your Spirit. And as you know our weakness, so may we know your power to save. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is taken from Genesis chapter 2. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat of any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die." Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild beasts the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And our psalm this morning is Psalm 32, and we begin by saying the refrain together. Be glad, you righteous, and rejoice in the Lord. Happy the one whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Happy the one to whom the Lord imputes no guilt, and in whose spirit there is no guile. For I held my tongue, my bones wasted away, through my groaning all the day long. Your hand was heavy upon me day and night. My moisture was dried up like the drought in summer. Be glad, you righteous, and rejoice in the Lord. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful make their prayers to you in times of trouble. In the great water flood, it shall not reach them. You are a place for me to hide in. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. Be glad, you righteous, and rejoice in the Lord. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Be not like horse and mule, which have no understanding, whose mouths must be held with bit and bridle, or else they will not stay near you. Great tribulations remain for the wicked, but mercy embraces those who trust in the Lord. Be glad, you righteous, and rejoice in the Lord. Shout for joy, all who are true of heart. Be glad, you righteous, and rejoice in the Lord. Give us honest hearts, O God, and send your kindly spirit to help us confess our sins and bring us the peace of your forgiveness. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
The New Testament reading is taken from Matthew chapter 4. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. What comes to mind when you hear the word temptation? A little whisper in your ear making seductive suggestions? Or something big and brash and loud, which is completely overwhelming and would be impossible to resist? One more chocolate couldn't possibly hurt, could it? A little treat, which I obviously deserve, even though I can't really afford it. A tiny lie? Well, no one will know. It's the stuff advertisers have used successfully for years. If they make their product tempting enough, no one will be able to resist. For some of us, Lent is all about resisting temptation. It's good for us to give up something up, like biscuits or cake, so that when the really powerful temptations come, we will have sharpened up our skills of resistance and not give in. In English, the word tempt and temptation imply that something, generally something sinful, is so deliciously wicked and therefore so attractive, it is virtually impossible to say no. So it's interesting that we refer to the passage we have just heard from Matthew as the temptation of Jesus. Now, I can understand the temptation of needing something to eat after 40 days without food. But I find it slightly more tricky to understand the challenge to throw yourself off the top of the temple or bow down to worship the devil. Neither of those seem particularly deliciously seductive or attractive. The word translated from the Greek as tempt is used elsewhere in Matthew's Gospel and is more usually translated as to test, like in the questions the Pharisees try to trip Jesus up by asking him. They weren't trying to get him to sin, but they were trying to find out how Jesus would respond under pressure. And now the devil is doing the same against the background of the wilderness, the place where generations before the Israelites had travelled round in circles for 40 years while they found out who God was and what it meant to be his people. Jesus' encounter with the devil in the wilderness wasn't a secret, although they were alone. The devil did not cart Jesus away for a bit of illicit tempting. No, this was part of God's plan. Jesus was in the wilderness because the Spirit had led him there. And I don't think there is much doubt that the devil knew who Jesus was. He knew he was the Messiah, the Son of God. He just wanted to find out what he was like. Would he take the hard or the easy route? What would he choose to do? Would he be the sort of Son of God who would do anything at all for power, for status, for satisfying his own needs? Or would he be the sort of Son of God who obeyed God and acted for the good of others? By the end of the encounter, the devil would be under no illusions as to the character and nature of Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God. And that's a good place for us to start this Lent. Never mind the word temptation with all its 21st century connotations. What do we think about being tested? What sort of disciple am I? What do I choose to do with my time, my money, and my resources? How much do I want to focus my attention on Jesus? Am I faithful to him? Am I prepared to take myself away to spend time with him and to fast and pray? The season of Lent gives us 40 days to recalibrate, refocus, and recommit. And I need that. I sometimes feel like I am the sort of ball used in bowls. I start off well, and then suddenly my natural bias takes me off course and swings me either to the left or the right. It might be a good thing to give up a bit of chocolate once a year, but to honestly look at our own discipleship and allow the Holy Spirit to reshape us would be much, much better. And I think having the opportunity to do so is probably one of the most wonderful things in the world. There is a vital role of testing, probing, and challenging, which gets to the heart of who we really are and the choices we make. This is essential to our discipleship as followers of Jesus Christ. Will we remain true? Will we remain faithful? After all, the New Testament tells us time after time that it is not the starting of the race that counts, but the finishing of it, that we have remained faithful and true to the end. It's not always easy, but Jesus reveals in this story how to do it. First of all, I think it's worth noting that Jesus allowed the devil to test him. He allowed the devil to ask him three questions, and then he told him to push off and go away. Jesus stood firm. You see, it's not the testing that's the problem. It's the standing firm. It's knowing who you are in the sight of God, his much loved child. It's knowing that God is for you. If God is for us, who can stand against us? The Israelites were tested in the wilderness and they failed over and over again. Jesus was tested and his faithfulness never wavered. In the wilderness, he showed that he loved God with all his heart, with all his mind and all his strength. In the wilderness, that bleak and lifeless place, Jesus still knew that he was God's son who was greatly loved. In the wilderness, Jesus broke the patterns of failure and faithlessness that had marked God's people and demonstrated that God's story of love, forgiveness, and salvation could begin again. So the first test was for the devil to satisfy Jesus's gnawing hunger by challenging him to change stones into bread. Well, to be honest, it doesn't sound like much of a sin to commit, particularly if you've been without food for 40 days. But it is a direct reminder of when the Israelites were in the wilderness. They were grumbling and wished they were back in Egypt because they were hungry. The grub was better in Egypt. So God provided quail and manna. The Israelites might have been freed from slavery in Egypt, but their minds were still enslaved. You see, God didn't just want them to live, being kept alive on scraps and mortals. He wanted his people to live, to really live. And that means to rely on God for everything, from the very words that come from his mouth, because those words speak life. They are words that bring comfort and forgiveness and healing. They are words that speak of justice and mercy and peace. They are words of hope and brilliant new resurrection life in all its fullness. I think our challenge is not to live by bread alone, not to want to live by bread alone, not to be satisfied on bread alone. Our challenge this Lent is to look to Jesus and rely fully and wholeheartedly on every word that God has spoken. But the second test, the devil took Jesus away from the wilderness to Jerusalem and the top of the temple. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. On their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. In other words, what the devil was asking Jesus to do was to pretend he was in need. The devil asked Jesus to pretend he was in great danger in order to test God and see if he really would help in times of trouble. Testing God in this way was the same way the Israelites behaved when they were in the wilderness. And when God didn't do exactly what they wanted, they doubted his very presence. The devil was doing the same. And what's worse, he was doing what so many of us do, and we've heard so many of them recently, quoting scripture for his own ends, using it for his own agenda. Instead, we need to seek God, the truth of God, through his word, to work at it, to wrestle with it, to think about it and ponder it, to use our intellects and our minds. And then we need to rest in it. God loves us to talk to him and pray to him, but it's so easy to try and force God's hand to fit in with our agenda. Instead, we need to trust him. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He is Almighty God. And for the third test, there is another change of location, location, location. A high mountain with extraordinary views. This is the only one of the devil's three tests that does not begin with the phrase, "If you are the Son of God." Probably because in this test, the devil is asking Jesus to change his allegiance and his focus from God to the devil. "I will give you all the kingdoms of the world and their glory if you kneel down and worship me." Jesus responds by telling the devil to go. He had to. Jesus knows that worship, love, and service to God are at the heart of who he is. He couldn't compromise, not even for a moment. You see, it's very easy to think that a little worship or devotion somewhere else other than God doesn't really matter very much. But Jesus knew that it would be extremely harmful and it would change everything. It would change the very nature of who he is, the Son of God. Worship is central to who he is. So what about us? What sort of disciple will we choose to be? Do we love the Lord with all our heart, all our mind, and all our strength? Do we know, are we secure in the God we belong to? Are we confident in the nature of God, his authority and his power, his love and his forgiveness? And is our worship to God central to our lives as we journey on through Lent to Easter? May it be so. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
So we join together in our prayers. God of love, these are testing times for our world. It has been hard to witness yet another earthquake in Turkey and Syria this week. The pain and suffering of the people in both countries is unimaginable. We continue to pray for all of those who are grieving, all of those who are injured, and all of those who've lost everything. The grim anniversary of the war in Ukraine this week reminds us how fragile peace is. As people who know your divine peace, we ask for peace in our world. We pray for the leaders of our world as they work out how to react to the violence and make decisions that will impact many people's lives. We pray for countries feeling the brutal impact of the climate, in particular Madagascar. As the world faces up to the climate crisis, may we play our part in looking after creation and seek justice for people who are suffering as a result of dramatic climate changes. Help us to be part of the solution to the problems the world faces. God of love,
have mercy.
God of love, many people are still really struggling with the cost of living, and we pray for them. Thank you for those who are trying to help. Give volunteers the energy and funds they need to keep going, and help us as your people to look after those who need in our community. The ongoing pay disputes continue to impact many people's lives. We thank you for the discussions this week within the NHS. May people negotiate in good faith and find a way forward that will bring an end to the disputes. Finally, we pray for our children as they navigate the complexities of social media and the internet. Please protect our children and young people. As a church, may we work hard to safeguard all of the young people in our care. God of love,
have mercy.
God of love, we want to ask you to be with people in our communities who are suffering at the moment with illness, grief, or situations that are very difficult. It is in a moment of quiet prayer and silence. Think of those people whom we know who are suffering or struggling in any way. Help us when we are tested to do the right thing. Help us to make decisions that are full of grace and love. Help us to put our trust in you and be people others can trust. God of love, have mercy.
Amen.
So, trusting in the compassion of God, let us pray with confidence, as our Saviour has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May God, our Redeemer, show us compassion and love. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Thank you, David.
Thank you
for your input. Thank you, Anne, for being in the background there. And thank you, everybody, for being with us this morning. I hope you have a great day, that the sun continues to shine on you. We didn't lose anything this morning, did we? Hurrah! Yeah. And so see you next week. God bless.